How to Hope, Lessons from the Israelites and Their Messianic Expectation, Part 46, The Second Coming Chapel, Message Number 261, God, and that's every Saturday, by the grace of God, for years now. And of course, we had many messages before that, before we jumped on this series. Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 through 9. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, talking about Jesus in the millennium, the 1,000-year reign of Christ on earth, the Spirit of wisdom, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth, and he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. And the cow and the bear shall feed, their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox, and the sucking child shall play on the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice's den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Holy Father God, we give you praise and give you glory and give you the honor for allowing things to be as well as they are. For Lord, they could be worse. And so, Holy Father God, we look forward to your second coming. We look forward to the rapture of the church. And we thank you for giving us, those of us who are truly born again, the blessed hope in our hearts. And Holy Father God, we individually and hopefully collectively confess our sins, our failures, and our faults as Christians, believers in Christ, people called by your name for Jesus Christ's sake. Lord, help us to be real before you. With so much going on in the world, I praise you, Lord, and I thank you for the people who will stop what they're doing. Some are trying to get food from the grocery store. Some are trying to get food from a pantry. Some are hurting because they have family members that are sick. Some are hurting very badly because they have family members who have died, and they were not even able to go to the funeral. On top of that, in the midst of a plague pandemic, we have demonic foolishness going on in the streets from the authorities and from the people. And so, Holy Father God, help us to pause and pray. And so I give you the glory, praise, and honor, and I'm thankful to the people that you send by our way, who take time in the hundreds of in the hundreds and thousands, who take time out of their schedule to hear your word, to be reminded to pray, to be reminded to remember the blessed hope, to be reminded to confess sin and to repent, and to pray and to seek your face, and to turn from our wicked ways and to get back to you, our first love. And Lord, we may not see a wholesale gathering, but Lord, if just one or two, if just a few would get their hearts right with you, it would be worth it all. It would be worth it all. And if just a few would come to know you as Savior, Lord, I'll give you the glory, the praise, and the honor. Crush and crucify, Lord, our wicked flesh within us, the old man within us, and fill us afresh and anew with the fullness and the power, the unction and the anointing, the fruit and the liberty, Lord, of your Holy Spirit. As usual, Lord, the devil is fighting against all of us who name the name of Christ in any way that he can. And so we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I know there are some people don't like for me to say it. Some don't want me, they get tired of me saying it. But Lord, I pray it every time because we need your help. I pray that you would cast out the devil and the demons of hell and the satanic demonic spirit of Judas, betrayal and sabotage and foolishness, out of the hearts and minds and people who are here, and out of the hearts and minds of people who are out there, whoever they might be. Whoever has that problem, drive that demonic spirit of Judas and hindrance and Sanballat and Tobias out of their lives and out from around us. And Lord, pave the way for us. Give us sweet victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil. And Holy Father God, we pray that by the power of your Holy Ghost and the power of your Holy Gospel, save those who are lost. Give me the energy, the grace, the strength, the anointing, and the power of your Holy Spirit to proclaim your Holy Gospel and to preach your Holy Word. Revive those who are saved, and we pray for those who are hurting because they have family members who are sick and who are dead. Comfort them as only you can. Grab a hold of their hearts and spirits and hug them and give them the hug that they cannot get from human beings today. And Lord, I pray that you would give them peace that passeth all understanding and joy unspeakable in their souls. And Lord, I pray that you will lead them to your Son, Jesus Christ, for salvation, for healing and comfort, and to your Holy Scriptures for comfort. For we have no words and we have no comfort to give to the people, not in this situation. And so, Holy Father God, we pray for the people who are raging, that your Holy Ghost would move upon them, convict them of their sins, help them to hear the gospel, help them to get saved and to repent. And Lord, we pray that your holy name would be glorified and Jesus Christ exalted. For it is in his name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Dr. George Sweeting said, for those of you who don't know Dr. George Sweeting, he was the leader of Moody Institute and Moody Ministries for many years, way back when I was a young Christian, and God used him mightily to advance the gospel. Dr. George Sweeting said the word hope in Holy Scripture is a term of certainty. The word hope in the Holy Scripture, the Holy Bible, is a term of certainty. To say that we hope for the return of the Lord is not to say that we are uncertain about His coming. His coming for His own is certain. This is not a hope-so situation. And no matter what you're facing today, no matter what you're going through today, no matter how dark the night is in your life, and it's dark for many people, you're not by yourself. If you can refocus your attention on the second coming of Christ, that blessed hope will do some things in your heart and in your life. That's one of the reasons why we preach on the second coming every Saturday, because we want you to be reminded of the blessed hope that we have in the second coming of Christ. No matter what's happening, one day Jesus will come back and get His own. Beloved, if your focus is set on the hope of Christ's second coming, His return, you will purify your life from every known sin. The temptations that you have this afternoon, the temptations that you have scheduled for tonight, that you want to, the sins you want to engage in, and that you're constantly being tempted about today, especially being cooped up for 2 months and somehow being bamboozled and deceived into thinking that everything is all right. Please be reminded, everything is not all right. The plague is still out there in the streets. But if you would remember that the Lord is going to return, you would say, no, I can't do that, because I fear my Lord and Savior. I fear God. I respect God. I reverence God. I'm not going to do that. I know the Lord is coming for me. During his time in the White House, and this is a very interesting story, President Carter did something that no other president that I know of has done. And that is, on several occasions, he stayed in the homes of common Americans. I don't know how he picked them, but he wanted to convey that he was in tune with the needs of average Americans. If you got a call this week from the White House announcing that the president would like to come by and stay in your home sometime next week, or next month, or whatever, meaning that your living room and kitchen would be on national television along with the president and his wife, I would imagine that you would do some house cleaning, some deep cleaning. Your little pets you have around there, your little roaches and little rats, you would get them, you would get rid of them, you would take care of them in a hurry. Your home would sparkle because you knew that the President of the United States was coming. Someone far greater than the President, beloved, is coming. Paul calls him our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Are you ready? Is your house clean? Is your spirit clean? Is your attitude clean? Is your marriage clean? Is your family clean? Do you have your heart right with God? Are you truly trusting in the blessed hope, and that meaning the Lord coming back soon? Have you truly confessed your sins and repented of your sins and turned away from your evil? And have you destroyed your idols, your secret sins, your besetting sins, your weights that you think you have hidden from others, but God knows about it and other people know about it too, they just haven't told you? Are you ready for the second coming of Christ? Because it could take place today. The rapture of the church could take place today. Are you ready? You could die today. Are you ready? Never in our generation has everybody been under the threat of death. Are you ready? In our last message, beloved, in this series, we looked at what this passage tells us about the lineage of the Messiah. And we're doing this because the New Testament tells us that we can learn from the examples of what the Israelites did. And God made it very clear. He does not want us to repeat their evil. He wants us to learn the good that we can do, but not to repeat the evil. And so that's what this is about. And so I want you to notice with me, secondly, look at the character of the Messiah. Isaiah chapter 11, verses 2 through 5 says, "And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. The Holy Ghost shall rest upon him. The spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth, and he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins." Ladies and gentlemen, Isaiah lists seven spirits, if you will, that the Messiah has resting on him. Jesus Christ in the millennial, the 1,000 year reign of Christ. The first spirit we see is the spirit that shows us the character of the Messiah. Is the spirit of the Lord God that is resting on him. The Messiah has all of the divine attributes of God. The Holy Ghost of God is on him and in him. Second, the Messiah has a spirit of wisdom and understanding, or has the spirit of wisdom and understanding. You must understand, when it comes down to wisdom and understanding, you don't get that from reading a book. You get that from God. One of the tragedies of life in the church today is we have people who read a whole lot of books, but they don't pray a whole lot for wisdom, God's wisdom and God's understanding. Do you not know there are people who have never been to high school? There are people who barely made it out of high school, who never went to college, who have wisdom and knowledge and understanding more so than people who have been to college. Why? Because wisdom and knowledge and understanding truly comes from God. And there are people who have book knowledge and college degrees, but they can't connect the dots because they lack understanding. They lack wisdom. You only get that through prayer. You ask God for it. No doubt, far greater than the finite understanding of man is this wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. And the beautiful thing about having wisdom and understanding is that once God gives it to you, you don't even have to hear everything. You can pick up on it and move forward and make a decision and move forward and be well ahead of everybody else when you have the wisdom and understanding of God. Wisdom here does not mean mere knowledge, but wisdom from above, from God. In 1 Kings, we read that Solomon was given wisdom by God. Not that he learned it. It was given to him by God. And outside of salvation, the power of the Holy Spirit, one of the greatest gifts you'll ever receive in your life is the wisdom of God. Having the wisdom of God will save you thousands of days of your life of trial and error. Having the wisdom of God will save you a whole lot of heartache and pain dealing with people, because that wisdom and that understanding will help you discern who to deal with and who not to before they even open their mouths. Having God's wisdom will save you thousands of dollars of wasted money. Having God's wisdom is a beautiful thing. And of course, our Savior will have it all, for he is Emmanuel, God with us. So you can't learn wisdom. You can't learn understanding. God has to give that to you. And it's a great benefit in life. Colossians chapter 1 verse 9, Paul prays that the Christians would be filled with wisdom from God. This wisdom is not something attainable by man without God's help. God must give it to you. The word translated understanding means revelation, showing us that the Messiah has an understanding of God's will revealed to him by God. You get that from God as well. Understanding is it's a beautiful thing. When you understand things and you can connect things, and God can reveal things to you, and then you can understand it and you can see the whole thing. See, that's what understanding and wisdom is about. You'll never have the wisdom and understanding of God or Jesus, but God will let you have some wisdom and some understanding that will help you to understand the beginning to the end of what's going on. He'll draw it in your mind as to what's really happening. And it will save you years of time in your life. It will save you a whole lot of pain. It will save you a whole lot of wasted money. If you have the wisdom, just some of the wisdom of God that Jesus will have laid on him in the millennium. And of course, which he has right now. Third, the Messiah has a spirit of counsel and might. Not only does he have great strength, but he knows when and how to use it wisely. One of the marks of wise people who have understanding, and we'll never have it like Jesus, we'll never have it like God, they know when to be quiet. They know when to offer their advice, and they know when and who not to offer it to. Because they know some people will cast their pearls before swine. And they don't want to cast their pearls before swine. But they know some people will take the pearls and dirty them up with foolishness. We have people who may have book knowledge and who have gone to college and got an education, but they're way off on their timing. There are many examples throughout history of countries that were of great strength, but they were brought to destruction by leaders who did not have wise counsel in using that strength. So many people miss their time. So many people who lack wisdom and understanding, they have college degrees and they might even have money, but they don't know when to do things. For one reason, they don't have the wisdom to stay in touch and in tune with the Lord. The Messiah will be his own advisor and counselor, bringing his mighty strength to bear against the workers of iniquity. And then lastly, ladies and gentlemen, the Messiah has the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. Ask yourself, do you fear the Lord? And if you are honest, you will probably say, no, you don't. Fearing the Lord means you reverence the Lord so much, you respect the Lord so much, that you will not put forth your hand to evil. You may have learned it the hard way, that God will chastise, and when he chastises hard and long, and it's not fun. And you have learned to fear him that way. And by the way, that's how I learned how to fear the Lord. I didn't fear the Lord in some of my early years, as I should have. But after a while, by and by, God chastised me in my early Christian years. And I thought I could handle his chastisement. And I found out real quick that I could not. His chastisement was far worse than what my parents put on me. And one of the things about his chastisement, my beloved, is that it's going to last a long time, because God's going to be very thorough with you, and he wants to make sure you understand who's boss. And he helped me with that real well. And I came out of my chastisement understanding the fear of the Lord. Yes, it's a beautiful thing, it's a loving thing, And it's all about reverencing him and respecting him to the point that you will not do the evil you did before. God will help you to understand. Proverbs 1:7 tells us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The beginning of knowledge. You will not gain any real knowledge or wisdom or understanding if you don't fear the Lord, respect the Lord, honor the Lord, reverence the Lord. You will not be getting wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. And in fact, only wise people understand this, that they must fear the Lord, and it is the beginning of knowledge, and really the beginning of all things good. I'm trying to help you while you're waiting on the second coming of Christ, my dearly beloved. You need to learn how to fear the Lord, respect Him, trust Him, reverence Him, and get to the point in your life by the grace of God that you will not do anything to offend Him, anything. You will not tear down and burn down the police station. You're not going to kill a man by putting your knee on his neck. You're not going to burn down a library, tear up neighborhoods, no matter what happened, if you fear the Lord and you reverence the Lord and respect the Lord. The Messiah has the spirit of divine knowledge from God, a knowledge far greater than that of the most intelligent people on earth. Do you not know, beloved, that really and truly a person committed to the Lord, and if they didn't read anything else but the Word of God, the Holy Bible, and pray, prayed for God's wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, they will be wiser than all of the professors of the universities combined. I truly believe that. And Dr. Matthew Henry said, "He will judge righteous judgment." Righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins. He shall be righteous in the administration of his government, and his righteousness shall be his girdle. It shall constantly compass him and cleave to him, and shall be his ornament and honor. The reason why America is not great today is because we don't have the righteousness of the Lord, as maybe we used to, and maybe we never had it. He shall gird himself for every action, shall gird on his sword for war in righteousness. His righteousness shall be his strength, and shall make him expeditious in his undertakings, as a man with his loins girt. He shall in righteousness plead for the people that are poor and oppressed. And we see this time and time and time again, that Jesus is all about, very much so, pleading and helping the poor and the oppressed. I'm afraid that the church, supposedly of the Lord Jesus Christ in America, we're not that way. We're more concerned about politics and power and prestige and popularity and prosperity than we are the poor and the oppressed. Thank God for the few who are. The Lord will be their protector, as he is today. With righteousness shall the judge, with righteousness shall he judge the poor. He shall judge in favor and defense of those that have right on their side, though they are poor in the world, and because they are poor in spirit. How about it, dear Christian friend? Are you looking forward to the day when the Lord will fight for the poor and the oppressed in the kingdom? Well, he's doing it now, but he wants to do it through you and through me. But it appears that the church is more caught up with prosperity, money, and power, and politics, and prestige, than we are the poor and the oppressed. Some of us won't even preach the poor to the gospel like Jesus did, because he had that spirit on him as well. Sad to say, many of our evangelicals, many of our charismatic, prosperity gospel, Baptist, Bible people are not concerned about the poor at all. Some don't even want the poor in their churches. You know it's not the Lord's church. It's their church. Some churches right now who have an opportunity, they have an opportunity to help the poor and refuse to do so. But you need to know that Jesus is very much concerned about the poor and the oppressed, and will be so when he comes back as well. And so what God wants us to do is to follow his example and preach the gospel to the poor, be a good Samaritan, and help the poor and the oppressed. Not in some trumped up, phony, fake way, look at me way, but genuinely from our hearts. I have so much more to say to you today, ladies and gentlemen. I am literally cutting this sermon in half. And by the grace of God, I'm going to leave it there. Now, dear friend, if you are with us today and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, I want to urge you to trust in him, because he is coming again and you do not want to get left behind. Here is how you can place your faith and trust in him for your soul's salvation from sin and the consequences of sin. First, dear friend, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's law and laws. The Holy Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now let me help you. If you're saying, "Well, no, I don't recall any sins in my life," have you ever lied before? Have you ever stolen anything before? Maybe not a car, but you stole a pen from the job. You stole some paper towels out of the janitor's closet, so you didn't have to buy any, or you didn't have any money to buy any. You stole some candy out of Annie's candy store. Have you ever had an evil thought? Have you ever lusted or coveted after somebody or something in your heart? Have you ever dishonored or disrespected or disobeyed your parents? Have you ever dishonored God by taking His name in vain? If you've done any of these things, you have broken the Ten Commandments of God. Secondly, dear friend, accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. The Holy Bible states in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." We die physically because of our sin. Our bodies go to a grave. Our souls go to eternal death in that awful place called hell. And speaking of hell, thirdly, accept the fact that you are on the road to hell right now. No matter what church you might be a member of or when you got baptized, Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Hell is a very real place. Hell, dear friend, is bad news. But I have some good news for you. And for those of you who are wondering, well, who goes to hell? Allow me to read God's list in God's Word in the Holy Bible. These are they who are going to hell. And according to Revelation chapter 21, verse 8, see if you see yourself in this number. "But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Now hell, yea, the lake of fire, is bad news, dear friend, but I have some good news for you. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world," that includes you, "that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish," that is, should not perish in hell, "but have everlasting life in heaven." And yes, all you have to do is believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe in your heart that he suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose on the third day. Are you willing to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart that he suffered, bled, and died for your sins, was buried, and rose on the third day by the power of God? If so, I'm willing to pray with you and lead you in what is called the sinner's prayer. For the Bible is very clear in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 13, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that's all it takes. Church membership can't save you. Getting baptized can't save you. Doing work for the church can't save you. Being a preacher, a choir director, a deacon cannot save you from hell. Only faith in the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart and praying and calling upon him and asking him to save you. If you're willing to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, or you have already done so tonight or this afternoon, join me in praying the sinner's prayer. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I have done evil in your sight. I have broken your Ten Commandments, for I have, to name a few sins, Lord, I have lied before. I've stolen things before. I've lusted after and coveted after people and things before, even though I hate to admit it. And Holy Father God, I have dishonored and disobeyed and disrespected my parents. And I have disrespected you by taking your holy name in vain. For Jesus Christ's sake, please have mercy and grace upon my soul. Please forgive me of all of my sins. As I now believe with all of my heart in you, Lord Jesus, I believe with all of my heart that you suffered and bled and died on the cross for my sins. That you paid my sin debt. That you are the sacrificial Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world for me and all others. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past. And help me to follow you in the new life, Lord Jesus. For it is in your name I pray. Amen. Now, dear friend, if you just trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you just believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and received him into your heart and into your spirit, and you prayed that prayer with me and you meant it from your heart, I declare to you that based upon the word of God, you are now saved from hell and you are on your way to heaven. Welcome, dear friend, to the family of God. Congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is believing on the Lord Jesus Christ and receiving Jesus Christ into your heart as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Or you can read my book, download it free of charge. You'll never be asked for a dime. Download the book with the same name. What to do after you enter through the door. For Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Until next time, my beloved, God loves you, we love you, and may God bless you real good, is my prayer. Now, I want to encourage all of you, if you have a home church and your pastor is preaching his heart out from the empty church auditorium or from his office or from his house, I want you to be there tomorrow morning. However, if you're not a part of a church home and you want to be with us tomorrow morning, you're welcome to be here. We thank God for you. If you have a church home, we want you to tithe your money to your church home, not here. Give your money over there. But you're welcome to come and hear me preach if the Lord would so lead you to do so. By the grace of God, I'll be here 11 o'clock Central, 10 o'clock, no, 11 o'clock Eastern, 10 o'clock Central, and 8 o'clock Pacific. And then I'll be preaching and sharing in the standing between the living and the dead memorial prayer devotional service, which the devil hates, but is a very powerful and important service. And it says a lot about you, the thousands of you who come to that. It says a lot about you, because there's nothing exciting about it. Nothing exciting, but you're getting what you need to get out of it, and hopefully you're passing that on. And we thank God for all of you who show up for that service. And maybe you can come to that service and then go to your church service if the Lord gives you the peace to do that. And then I'll be preaching the Just Jesus campaign tomorrow, if the Lord tarries, is coming and we live. May I lovingly encourage you to not get caught up in the warm weather and think that everything is over and think that everything is back to normal. It's not. So be prayerful and let the Lord lead you. Not me, not any other man, but the Lord. Let the Lord lead you and guide you and direct you. And He will do that if you pray to Him. Seriously, let God lead you and your family. Not some man somewhere who really does not know you, or some woman. And don't go telling everybody your business on as to what you and your family are doing. You tell the Lord, you talk to the Lord, you ask for Him to lead you, and you do what the Lord leads you to do, regardless of what other people are doing. Don't worry about what other people are doing. You do what God has called you to do. And so I want to encourage you to pray without ceasing. Most of you have Alexa in your house. You know you do. You can tell Alexa to do a little chime or a little song or something at the top of the hour, and you can just be reminded that way to say a breath prayer. This will help you to keep your heart and mind stayed on the Lord, and He will keep you in perfect peace and joy, and not and you won't get all down in the dumps and depressed. You know why a lot of these people out here fighting and raising Sam and Cain and everything else, the way they're doing it now? And they're burning up stuff unnecessarily, all that. Yes, people have done things like this in the past, but not like this. This is just absolutely ridiculous. You know why? People are angry. People are bitter. People are fed up about a whole lot of things, not just the death of that man. And even the police officer is fed up and angry and bitter and so forth to make him do something like that. He knew what he was doing. And you got folks in your family, you're frustrated, you're bitter, you're angry, and you want to lash out at people because of the situation as it is, with the plague pandemic on top of you. No money, no food. For the first time in your life, you had to go out and get a box of food. You're frustrated. The person that you were engaged with sexually, which was wrong, that you can't get with them anymore. You're frustrated, you're mad, you're angry, you're bitter, and people are ready to fight. That's why you don't need to get involved in that. Bless your heart. Don't get caught in that foolishness. And a lot of the people out there, trust me, facing and risking the plague pandemic, coronavirus, they're out there, buddy, because they want to be with some people. And they want to show what they have, and they want to be a part of it, and they want to be around other folk. They're sick and tired of being shut in. And they're angry. Many are angry, bent out of shape, frustrated, bitter, mean. They're ready to rumble. And if the people of God don't start praying real hard, this is going to be one heck of a summer. It's going to be a bad summer. And a lot of folks, I believe, are going to end up dead. So pray. Commit to prayer. Pray if you feel like it, and pray if you don't. Pray for your family. Pray for the healing of your marriage and your family. If God will bless you to get back together as husband and wife, please be quiet. I'm not going to tell you to shut up today because some of y'all get mad at me for telling you that. So I'm going to say, please be quiet. Just don't say what just come up up in your head. Just be quiet and let it go. And just enjoy what you can. And thank God for what you can. Thank God you got somebody you can talk to. Even fuss a little bit at. Just a little bit. Thank God for your children. Don't worry about anybody else's right now. You take care of your children and spend time with them. Because that which you think is going slow, is going very fast, and they will be gone soon. And spend time with your children. Okay? And love on them. Watch this. In a plague pandemic, my oldest daughter sent me out of the blue yesterday. I didn't ask her for it. Anything. She's not obligated to do this. In a plague pandemic, she does this all the time. She sent me $360 yesterday. My oldest son, in a plague pandemic, and he has a little bit better situation, but he sent me $300. Didn't ask him for it. He's not obligated to do that. And my children are not obligated to do anything for me or for the ministry or for the family or anything. God put that on their heart to do. You know why? Because I know them and they know me. And what I mean by that is I made the decision to go without a whole lot of stuff to spend time with my children and raise them the right way according to the scriptures. And they're still in their 20s. And I want you to have that. I want you to have children who will love you and respect you even when they leave the house. And even more so. And they will appreciate you even more so. And you know what you're going to have to do? You're going to have to spend quality time with them. You're going to have to pray with them, read the Bible with them. You're going to have to eat popcorn with them. You're going to have to watch a movie with them every now and then. You need to do that. You're going to need to take them to Chuck E. Cheese on their birthday. And you need to get a sub sandwich and a pizza and some pizza. That's right. I enjoyed Chuck E. Cheese more than the children did. I really did. We don't go now to Chuck E. Cheese. All my children all of them are grown except for one. We don't go to Chuck E. Cheese. So I look forward to going to Chuck E. Cheese with my grandchildren, if God would bless my children to marry the right person. I've already told them, don't marry a devil. That's right. But anyway, I love you. I thank God for you. And I want to leave this with you. Pray without ceasing. Jesus Christ gave a parable to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Don't let the devil in your house. You don't need him in your house at this time. You got the plague. You got the pandemic. You got folk cussing and killing and fighting in the street downtown and other places near you. You don't, even we had some folks fighting and burning things and fighting and marching in Dallas. And we normally don't have that kind of thing going on in Dallas, but the Bible Belt, we're the buckle of the Bible Belt. We normally don't have that foolishness going on, but somebody got the notion. And I believe the police had the potion for them because they didn't cause too much damage in Dallas. We don't play that out here in Texas. But pray. If your husband does not want to pray with you, you pray. Your wife does not want to pray with you, you pray. And listen to Alexa. Let her remind you to pray. Or whatever device you have on your phone or whatever. And no matter how dark it is, no matter how dire it is, some of you are worried about having to move because they're going to move you. They're going to evict you. You got to pray to God now. God will open up doors for you, even in this situation. He will. But you got to start praying. Stop talking so much with everybody and trying to find out what everybody else is going to do. Don't be going with the herd. Don't go with the crowd. Don't call everybody in your church and ask them what they're doing, what they're going to do. You do what God leads you to do. And I mean that. And I guess I'm sharing this with you because I'm not going to give a briefing today. Unless somebody says something crazy, then I'll come back. But by the grace of God, I'm getting ready to eat and I'm getting ready to go to sleep. So when you think about me, pray for me as well. And I'll be praying for you when I wake up. God bless you. We'll see you next time.